You know, we love having our first-time guests. And when I came across a great piece on the Pac-12 Power Rankings, I reached out, landed another outstanding sports journalist from 24/7 Sports. He's the Wildcat, a grad of Weber State, from Seattle, now based in San Antonio. On Twitter, use the handle at Raymond Lucas Jr. Ray Lucas, appreciate the time. How's life treating you this summer?
It's going great, man. I appreciate the great introduction. I'm excited to talk about a conference that doesn't really get a fair shake when you go on social media, so I'm excited.
Awesome. You know, it's not football related, but I mentioned you're a Weber State grad. You know, Ben Hallen played there for older NBA fans like me. Dick Motta coached there. And, of course, I do a sports show in Oregon. A lot of Blazer fans, obviously. Damian Lillard. So, curiosity, when you spend time on campus, how prominent or revered is Dame?
It's crazy. I didn't realize how big of a deal it would be when I first got to the school, but you go into the bookstore and like you're getting your laptop and all excited, and you just see Damian Lillard posters literally everywhere, like jerseys. He comes back for the alumni game, which I was able to cover a couple times, so that was exciting. But he's as big of a deal as you can imagine, maybe even bigger.
So as a first-time guest, I always like to know, you know, you don't end up doing a job like this by accident. You got to love to play, love the game. So growing up, give us a picture. For example, I'm a lifelong New Yorker from Jersey. I go Yanks, Giants, Knicks, Willis Reed, Derek Jeter. So young Ray, who were your teams and players?
It was definitely, you know, Seattle-based, so I'm going to make people in Eugene's skin crawl a little bit, but Washington Huskies, the Seahawks, the Mariners. I think players, weirdly enough, growing up as a Husky fan, obviously you're conditioned to hate everything about Oregon, but I really loved watching DeAnthony Thomas play, even though he would run wild on the Huskies every single time they played. But I think he's the main guy that I would say when I think of college football that really – like made me gravitate toward the sport and say, I want to watch these type of events in person one day. And then there's just, you know, the other usual guys, like there's Keith Price. I'd say he was when I first, like, kind of, everyone knows when they started loving college football, but then when you become knowledgeable about college football and you're getting excited for August and things like that, I'd say he was the quarterback when that started to happen for me. And then just like all types of Pac-12 guys like Miles Jack at UCLA, him being from Washington, I enjoyed watching him. And just like, it's mainly for me guys that are from Washington because you kind of hear about their stories and then they go to college and you see them. But in a way, you feel like it's closer to you because you had already been hearing the names before.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it comes down to a court case, I will deny you ever said anything good about a duck. So you can count on me.
Thank you.
Talking with Ray Lucas, 24/7 Sports, did a great piece last week. Power Rankings, and of course, we're the Duck Station, but there's a lot of Beaver fans here. I thought you made an excellent point. You know, they went from breaking a long bowl drought to legit threat, winning 10 games, almost beat Washington and USC. So what do you like about this team with what seems like a really big upgrade at quarterback?
I think it's the first thing I think of when I think of Oregon State is Damian Martinez. I really liked how he played last year, and he did that while he really was the main attraction in that offense. Like, everything was centered around him. And so, you know, adding a solid option at quarterback and DJU, it really is going to open things up for Oregon State on the offense. I think defense is – if Oregon State had – EJU last season, I think they win the Pac-12 because how great their defense was. This season, it'll be interesting because they have holes to fill. They're not going to have that same unit, but I think the potential is still really high. And Oregon State's a team where I think Oregon State fans, they see their team being pitted at like maybe 5 or 4 in the power rankings, and they're like, no, we should be better than that. And I think there's real potential for that actually happening. This is a team that if they won the Pac-12, I think it'd be surprising for everyone that doesn't follow the Pac-12, but this is a legit team.
No, I'm with you on that one, and obviously I get yelled at a lot for that here on the Duck Station. And as far as far as Oregon, year one, Dan Lanning, not just as the Duck coach, but a first-time head coach, new staff, an explosive offense. But, man, the defense did have some lacking areas, pressure on the passer. They lost some talent. So what's popping with you, be it the return of Bo Nix, where you have them pretty highly ranked in a really tough Pac-12?
Yeah, so I think, I believe I slotted them at number three. I think that's where I've had them for most of the offseason. And I think the interesting thing to me about Oregon is in the Pac-12 media poll, they were slotted to finish fourth. And I think that's grossly underestimating Oregon, because this is a team that at times they look like the best team in the Pac-12, and I felt that they were the best team for a stretch up until that loss to Washington. And I think Oregon fans and Washington fans, they'll argue all day about what the result of that game would have been had Bo Nix not gotten injured. But I think the bigger takeaway for me was, if Dan Lanning had more experience as a head coach, how different would that have been? Because I felt like he was extremely aggressive in that game, and I think the late decision to go for it on fourth down, which set up Washington in great field goal range when they got the stop, I think that changed things, because the Washington game is the game they should have won. And the Oregon State game, I mean, obviously the blown lead, that's the game they should have won. And then all of a sudden we're looking at the 2022 Oregon Ducks way differently than we are. And so to me, they are an improved defense away from being what should be the comfortable favorite in the Pac-12, but it just depends on how much that defense is going to improve. And then I think the difference for me between them and Washington is that both have to improve on defense, but Washington, Ryan Grubb is still there. Oregon, they lost Kenny Dillingham. So it's a razor-thin gap between Oregon and Washington and USC, but Oregon has as good a chance as any, and that's a talented team that had a great haul through the transfer portal. I think Troy Franklin's very underrated. I think Lucky Irving, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves, because the Pac-12 focuses on, or Pac-12 fans, all we talk about is the quarterback play and the wide receivers. But this is a team that could be dangerous.
Yeah, by the way, a colleague of mine, that call on going for it on fourth down, I thought he coined a really good phrase. He said it was unnecessarily aggressive. So, yeah, talking Pac-12 football, Ray Lucas, Utah's a great story. You know, they jumped from the Mountain West to a Power Five, and now they've been the boss 2 years in a row. They've only lost three games, but they've been 500 on the road. So there are some factors here. Cam Rising returning from injuries, some NFL losses. They play the North's best in the Oregon schools in Washington. So, Ray, what's standing out about this team as they strive for what would be an historic three-peat?
I think the thing about Utah is, you know, Cameron Rising is still there. And if he's there, then they have a legit shot to capture a conference championship. And we've seen it the last two seasons. I think Utah, they came really close in other seasons, but the difference was they just didn't have that quarterback that would get them over the hump. And Rising isn't a player that's nationally recognized as like this, you know, top five, top 10 quarterback in college football. But what he does bring them is consistency, and he brings them grit. And I think he's really the engine that gets them going and keeps them going. I think Utah, it's such an impressive program, just when you think about how they've been able to overcome adversity, how they've been able to overcome tragedy. And, you know, sometimes these are things that can disrupt the season, and rightfully so. Like, it should disrupt the season. But Utah, they've just continued to take these things and make them inspirational and grow tighter and play better football. And so it's really hard to doubt the youth. I think where I hesitate is, if you look at last season, even though Utah at the end, they were in Las Vegas and they held up the trophy and they won a second straight conference championship, I don't feel like Utah was the best team in the Pac-12. And I don't know if they were second. I don't know if they were third. And I think it's just all about matchups. And they matched up really well against USC, and that's who they ended up with in the conference championship. But, you know, if Oregon finishes the job against Oregon State – it's a whole different conversation. We're getting Oregon versus USC in the Pac-12 championship game, or just a different type of scenario. And so I think Utah, they have some things that they're going to have to overcome, because their defense, I think when people talk about Utah, they talk a lot about their defense, but there's a difference between being physical and just being great and consistent on defense. And last year they weren't. And when they lost to UCLA last season, I think everyone kind of pumped their brakes a little bit on Utah and saying, oh, this could be trouble. And they have to fix those things. And now they don't have Clark Phillips in the secondary, who I feel like was the real staple for them. And he was the guy who, you know, you at least need one guy who's going to be able to contain a wide receiver. And he did it in the Pac-12 championship game against Jordan Addison. But what happens if they don't have someone that has that type of production? Like, what does that change in a Pac-12 that's really tough? Because they play Oregon again, and this time they play Washington, and obviously they play USC. So that's an issue that they're going to have to fix quickly. Luckily, they don't. I mean, Florida and Baylor, those are tough games to open up the season, but as Utah showed us, they can afford a loss in non-conference and still win the Pac-12. But I think the UCLA game is where we kind of get a feeling for them on September 23rd. But then the week later on September 30th against Oregon State, that's when we find out a lot about the Utes, I think.
Well, you mentioned being here who the arch enemy is. Get to Washington. They were a terrific story last year. We know what a nightmare 2021 was. Then Kalen DeBoer took over. Michael Penix was healthy. He's back with that dynamic duo on the outside. Now, the schedule has a little more teeth. They draw Utah and USC, plus they go to Michigan State. So what factors led to you putting them right back in the mix, second in this league?
I think it's Michael Penix and having Romo Dunze back and having Jalen McMillan. That team, it's just going to be really hard to stop them. And my ranking is with the assumption that the defensive line is going to be good enough to create a consistent pass for us to the point where Washington doesn't have to depend on its secondary to be great as much as it did last year, because that is where they fell short a few times. And even in games they won, they were in danger a little bit because their secondary just couldn't do anything, which is, it's weird to say that about Washington after just all the defensive backs they've produced, but last year's secondary wasn't up to par, and that's the thing that can, it could either have them in a conference championship game, or it can be a disappointing season where they finish below double-digit wins, which, I mean, you know, it depends on what your standards are when it comes to disappointing, because I think a 9-win season in a tough Pac-12 is pretty good, but other people would disagree. And I think that the secondary and how they defend the pass and the pass rush they get and just how consistent the unit is, it really is going to determine just how good Washington can be. And it's going to be interesting because the Oregon game, that's at Husky Stadium, that's going to be a tough one. But, you know, I think the real one, the real challenge is at USC, because from there, if their passing game or if their pass defense isn't up to par, then that Oregon game can be a loss. And then 2 weeks later, you could fall to USC. And then now you kind of have, teams have a blueprint of how to beat you. And so Utah, if they go pass heavy with Cam Rising, and Oregon State does the same with DJU, and Washington State does the same with Cameron Ward, suddenly it's like the sky is falling in Seattle. And so I like the team. I like the offense. I like what Kalen DeBoer has going, but improvement in the secondary is essential, or things might not go the way they want. And I think the Michigan State game, I think it's extremely dangerous. Michigan State lost a lot of talent through the transfer portal, especially, you know, Coleman. But that's still a tough game, and that's a tough place to play. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that Washington November at USC, Utah at Oregon State, then the Apple Cup. It's like good luck with all that. One final thought for Raymond Lucas, 24/7 Sports. Our old pal Chip Kelly, who had an unprecedented run up here, four major bowls, three conference titles, just had his best season at UCLA. But they take a hit. They lost Dorian Thompson-Robinson, his stud back there, and Zach Charbonnet. Your take on if the portal or some new faces can provide enough to put them back in the mix?
To me, I see UCLA finishing as a team that's kind of middle of the pack, and it's mainly because there's a lot of questions at quarterback. The transfer portal was good to them, again, for a second straight year. I think they should be improved on defense after keeping key players. But it is hard to win when you don't have, like, this consistent presence at quarterback. And maybe they do when the season gets rolling, but we're pretty certain in the Pac-12 about most teams' quarterbacks. I mean, outside of Arizona State and UCLA, we can, and Stanford, we can assume a starter and be pretty comfortable with the starter. But UCLA, they don't really have that. And I, for majority of the offseason, I felt like Dante Moore would be the guy coming in as a five-star. You know, if he's going to be your future, then let him go out there and get those reps, because they're about to go to the Big Ten, which is going to be a whole new challenge when it comes to just all that travel and navigating new how teams are. They're just built differently a little bit, like stylistic and the way they form their offensive lines and schemes and all that. And so I feel like it's best to let your quarterback kind of experience things before he goes into this change. But I mean, it's tough because a lot of times freshman quarterbacks struggle. And it's, I mean, even when you look at Texas in the spring game and Arch Manning, he got a lot of flack for struggling in the spring game. But at the end of the day, he's still a freshman. And this is, I mean, my youngest brother is the same age as these freshman quarterbacks. And I can't imagine my youngest brother going into a stadium and, like, you know, navigating all this pressure and all these expectations. And so it's an interesting situation. I do like what they did through the transfer portal. I do think that they'll get back to a bowl game. I think 6-7 wins, maybe a jump to 8 wins is like a good, comfortable range for UCLA.
Folks, that's a whole lot of good insight and info. He's Ray Lucas, part of the great coverage we get from 24/7 Sports. Follow his work on Twitter. The handle is at Raymond Lucas Jr. Hey, Ray, great catching up. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the summer. And as the season closes in, definitely look forward to having you back on to talk some more college football. But seriously, thanks a million for finding some time.
Hey, no problem. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for reaching out to me, and I look forward to coming back on.
All right. Have a good one. There you go. Ray Lucas, first-time guest, crushing it with